Well, I want to thank you all, and I have a lot of friends. But now, this is the place, 1799. It was built 1799. Started off with number six, John Adams, president. And so it's a long time. It's the White House, and we love it, and it's an honor to have you. But you really did. You broke the sound barrier. I've never heard that. I've never heard it quite like that, and I appreciate it. We love you. We love you. Thank you. And I'm honored to welcome everybody and these incredibly talented and unbelievable, patriotic young American leaders. You're going to be the leader, somebody I would be almost willing to bet, maybe even willing to bet, somebody in that audience right here, right in front of me, is going to be standing here someday. You've got a good shot. You're going to have a good shot. You've done incredible work to get to this position, and I have tremendous respect for it. We're glad to be joined by our terrific Vice President, Mike Pence. And many of our cabinet members are here. They wanted to be here. I told a couple of them, don't have to. Don't worry about it. What the heck? These are my friends. They said, no, we want to be here. So we have a lot of our cabinet members here. And to every young person, you represent America's future. You are the best and the brightest, the bravest and boldest. And someday you are going to be setting records like nobody before. I'm telling you, I know it. I know where it's at. I know where energy is, and you have the energy like very few people have the energy. So I just want to tell you, get out there. Prove me right, please, okay? I have no doubt you will. Each of you has come to Washington for the Black Leadership Summit because you have what it takes to achieve real change on your campuses and in your communities, and that's what you've been doing, and that's actually why you're here. You speak out for the values and principles that have made America the most exceptional nation anywhere on earth. And I will say this today is greater than it ever was before. Our military, our economy. We have the greatest economy in the world. We have the greatest economy we've ever had. Tremendous numbers just came out today. You heard that. But you stand up for the oppressive forces, and you do. You stand right up to those forces in our country that demand conformity and control. You refuse to be censored. You refuse to be silenced, and you will never back down. And don't ever back down. You're the champions for free thought and free speech, and I especially want to thank a friend of mine who is, I mean, first of all, you think he's like 50, but he's about 25 or something like that. He's a young guy. I can't even imagine being so successful at such a young age, what he's done in so many ways. And really, more importantly, letting young people know that they have a voice. Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA. Charlie, you've done a fantastic job. Fastest growing organization of thought in the country. He is something. Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate you being here. And we're also joined by a friend of mine, just got married. And Candace Owens, I watched her and I saw her coming. I said, you know, I'm pretty good at star power. I look at, I say, that's a star. Every once in a while I'll see somebody. You know, it happens about once every 5 years. That's all it is. But I'll be watching. I saw Candace probably 3-4 years ago. How long would it be, Charlie? Four? Maybe four. I saw this woman on television. I said, man, I don't want to mess with her. She's tough.
We are listening to President Trump speak to the Black Caucus. This event was held October 4th, so that would have been on Friday. Enjoy it, and we'll start the call in a few minutes.
Brilliant guys, never ever call a woman beautiful, please. You're not allowed to do it. And I've kept doing it, and I've never been told by that woman never to do it. Just say, thank you, sir. Candace, would you come up here, sir, if you would? You might.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, every single president that comes into office after 2 years, they look so much older. He seems to be the only president that's getting younger. And he has somehow found the fountain of youth. I think he gets up out of bed. It's the fight. He loves the fight. He really does. We are so blessed. Listen, let me say this. The media, the audacity of them to think that they're going to impeach our president. It's not happening. It's absolutely not happening. Not under our watch. We need to make sure we fight for this man, the one man who is standing up for Black America. We are going to fight for, guys. We have to keep it going.
Folks, I wish you could see the president's face on this video. He is humbled, beyond humbled by Candace Owens' words.
Thank you very much. You know, it's sort of interesting. It's like, we have a choice. We have to fight, right? We have to fight. We have to fight for everything, whether we like it or not. Another man who has been so incredible, Jerron Smith. Where is Jerron? Is he around here? Jerron Smith. Man, have you done a job. You've done such a great job, Jerron. At least come up and shake my hand. Will you, please? Come here, Jerron. You know, he works with us, and he's actually not. I always say he's so elegant and so quiet and so nice. They say, you don't know the real Jerron, so I want to see him. But what he does and the job he's done in outreach and so many other aspects of our lives is incredible. I want to thank you, Jerron. Thank you very much.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Give it one more minute. We'll start the call. We will do our two prayers as always. Well, thank you for joining us. We'll be with you in a minute.
Or as we would say, social media. He is some piece of work, this guy. He was hitting Deborah Messing like she never got hit before. This crazy Deborah Messing started messing with us. And all of a sudden, I see this man on Twitter, and I see him all over, and he was hit, and I never saw anything like it. I felt so sorry for her. And then I look, and I say, who is this guy? His name's Terrence Williams. I look. And I look, and I said, well, you know, the way you look.
This is a great video, everybody. I'm going to give you the name of it. You have to search this video and watch it. President Trump remarks at the Young Black Leadership Summit. Just go to YouTube, Google President Trump remarks at Young Black Leadership Summit. It is a phenomenal video, and one of the reasons I believe the president will have or will put a big can of whoop ass on the Democrats in 2020 because he has the support of minorities. May come as a surprise. They're either in denial, the left, or they're just ignorant because minorities are walking away from the Democrats. And we're going to pray tonight to keep the momentum going and to keep the support for President Trump. So welcome, everybody, to the prayersfor45.com call for October 6th, Sunday night. And we will do our two prayers, first prayer for President Trump. In our second prayer, we will continue to pray for the reset of the rule of law, and we will have a brief discussion around this. I'll remind you, we are recording these calls. We'd like to bring context to our prayers so somebody listens to these calls in the future as we archive them. There is some relevancy and some context to what we are all doing here. We know why we've come together tonight. Why on Sunday and Thursday night we pray for President Trump, his administration, his family, all the patriots he has surrounded himself with, our military, and all of the great people, our friends, our family. We're praying for everybody that supports this president, and we're praying for those that don't, because we want them to cross that bridge and come over to the right side of this spiritual war. And when I think of the spiritual war, I can't think of a better person to lead a prayer for President Trump in fighting the war, and we're winning the war. And Kimberly, how are you tonight? I know you're going to bring some great energy to this call.
I'm great, Scotty. I'm up in Flagstaff celebrating Family Day at NAU with my son. Yay!
Awesome. Well, congratulations. I'm sure it's joyful to be with your family and watch your kids go to college. I'm looking forward to that. My daughter's only in seventh grade, so I've got a little time before I'm off to college, but I'm sure it's a joy and glad you can take a break and pray.
Awesome. I am so glad to be here. I've been really thinking about our president and all this stuff that's going on, the superfluous battle in the media and everything politically. And I just was really mindful of one of my favorite passages in Philippians chapter 4. I'm just going to declare this passage over our president tonight. So if you guys would bow your heads with me, let's just cover him in this passage. Father, we thank you so much for President Trump and his family. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would keep him from being anxious, that you would protect him from becoming worried about anything. Father, that in everything, Lord, that you would lead him and prompt him in every circumstance, in every situation, Lord, to be thankful and to come to you in prayer, Lord. We ask that you would help him to be thankful, that you would keep a heart of gratitude ever before him, Lord, that you would allow him to whisper his request to you through a heart of thanksgiving. And so we speak that over him right this minute, Lord, and your promise to us when we walk this way not being anxious is that your peace, the peace that passes all understanding and reassures our hearts, it's that peace from God that transcends all understanding on every level, will guard his heart. Father, I pray that your peace would set a hedge of protection around his heart, that he would not be anxious and not be worried about anything. Lord, that he would also be focused on whatever is true and whatever is honorable, that he would be mindful to be thinking about whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right and true, and whatever is confirmed by your word, Lord. There's so many promises in your word that we can stand on. Father, I pray that you would help our president to be mindful of those things, that whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, Father, let him focus on the things that are excellent and not anything else. Father, that he would be focused even on praising you, Lord, on singing your praises in the quiet place of his mind, Father, that he would be exalting you, Lord. We ask that you would kindle a spirit within him that would be mindful to continue to praise you and focus on you and think on these things. Father, we thank you that your word promises, Father, at the end of chapter 4, verse 9 of Philippians, that you, our God, who is our source of peace and well-being, will be with us and therefore be with our president. Father, we just speak this passage out of Philippians 4 over our president tonight. Lord, I thank you so much that we could come together and lift him up. We pray all of these things in your powerful name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Scotty, are you there?
Yes, I needed to unmute myself. I am here.
Oh, I thought it was me.
I was listening intently and actually petting my cat. She's always attracted to your voice. She comes to our calls, and I don't know what goes on in the mind of these pets, but somehow they're triggered by voices, and I think you know, she's becoming part of the group here. But I'm so glad that you bring your energy to these calls, Kimberly. It's just appreciated, and thank you. And what say you about the imminent arrests that we believe are coming? I want to talk a little bit about that as we reset the rule of law. Why I believe arrests are imminent. There's some real clues out there, but let me get your thoughts first.
Well, I just believe that, you know, this is kind of like a slow boil, you know, where there's not a rush to roll all of this out. I think that with the cleansing that's been happening in our judicial system and all of the details that have been happening in the last 2 years especially, that I really believe that they're really making sure that they get their ducks in order. And we are hearing more sprinkling of the words treason and sprinkling of the words accountability. We're hearing those words more and more on the media, and it doesn't really matter what media we're listening to. It's out there. And I think that that's part of the process of waking up the public and being mindful of what's coming, that this is actually coming. And so I'm pretty encouraged by that, and it's even more and more and more these days. It's unbelievable how often you're hearing those words. So that is my assurance, really, Scotty, that justice is going to be served, and I'm excited about that.
Very well said. I believe you touched on one word that really is it's a billboard, and we need to, as we drive by, read the billboard, and this one's easy to read. One word, treason, you said it. And who has President Trump applied that word to? He has applied it to politicians on the left, like Adam Schiff. He's applied it to the media. He's called the media treasonous. And he has applied it to Google. And Kimberly, you didn't know, but that is the word treason, a huge transition to what I wanted to talk about with this great group, and that is, there are some very sound accounts and reporting that our military, the U.S. Marines, have been activated for duty on their homeland.
Really?
As we know, in the United States, our military is not allowed to engage with its own citizens. But this is... A very good reports are coming out. I've seen a letter on the internet. As we know, things can be photoshopped and made up, but this seems to be a very authentic letter that was activating the military, and it specifically addressed the how the president would go around this idea of the U.S. military having duty on its own soil. But there's three reasons. I don't think it would be any surprise if the military was activated to do three things. One, to, of course, protect our great cities. If there are mass arrests, as we are expecting, arrests to come at some point, and we've been given clues that this is going to be a red October, whether the arrests come now or at a later date, I do believe before the holidays, we will see some serious arrests here. And the military will be activated to protect the cities from activated cells that could come from any number of places. Certainly Antifa, the CIA mind control program, MKUltra, they have a lot of sleeper cells that they have trained and could activate and should the military be activated. They also will be involved in the arrests, of course. But one of the things that has been put out there by some very, very knowledgeable people who have some very good contacts, is that our military potentially could walk into the big tech companies. And on the basis of treason, Kimberly, as you brought the word out and you walked right into this discussion for me, thank you, that President Trump has been calling out treason. We know our president doesn't speak idly. This is not an idle thought to say Adam Schiff is a treasonous man, that Google is treasonous. For those of you, though, that don't know, Google has, in fact, enabled the Chinese military, a communist country, the CCP, The Chinese Communist Party and its communist military has been enabled by Google. Google has set up specific things, technology and whatnot, for a foreign military. That is no doubt treason. There's any number of things that President Trump could have had in mind when he called Google treasonous. And he's also called the media treasonous. I would not expect the military to walk into a television network like CNN and take over. I would not be surprised if part of this activation of the military has to do with walking into the big tech companies and taking over, I believe, taking management out, maybe the top executives and management. This is swirling around the internet, and I believe it's more than rumor. I think there's a logical path that the Patriots could take that would shock the world, and I don't believe this is out of the question or out of reason. I don't think anybody on this call would object and be too upset. Diane, what do you think?
Well, I saw that, and I think it was specifically the Marines. Is that what you're remembering, Scotty, about the letter? It was specifically
the Marines. Yes, it was the Marines, the letter I saw, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And fascinating, real quick note about me. I graduated from college with an education degree, went into business, didn't teach, but I did do a lot of teaching just because it comes natural to me, to salespeople, to, you know, I sold software, so I taught a lot of people how to use the software, et cetera. But now I'm in working with high school students, just part-time, and I had a conversation with an educator, 30-year educator, about the ridiculousness of our president bringing up the word treason. And I said, why do you think it's so ridiculous? And the educator, the conversations I'm having with educators are quite frightening, actually. And it's a small town that I'm in, but it's prevalent throughout the education system, which we've known that from the writings. We've known that. I'm not, you know, surprised by it. But in this small of a town in eastern Washington, which has always been very conservative, I was quite surprised. And the conversation went like this, Scotty. And Kim, the fact that you brought it up is just amazing. But he said he doesn't even know when he can apply treason. I said, what? What are you saying? And he said, you cannot arrest or indict for treason unless you're in war, during wartime. I said, really? I said, there's all kinds of wars going on. There's currency wars, there's trade wars, there's, you know, all kinds of wars going on right now. But he goes, nope, you're wrong. Specifically, it has to be in time of war. And I said, you mean where people are shooting each other on a field? Is that what you mean? And he said, it has to be Congress declared war. So I went to WikiLeaks and I pulled up treason and I showed it to him, and I said, it says during war, comma, or, and goes on to describe when you could apply treason. When someone has, you know, sold out our country to another or provided information to another country that could result in blah, 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 blah. And he said, phew, that's ridiculous. So he goes, and the next day he throws me, Scotty, this was priceless. He throws me the part of the Constitution. He said, I get my information directly from the Constitution. Throws it on my desk, and it said exactly what it said in WikiLeaks. Exactly. And it just brought to me the blinded rage that, I mean, they don't even know. I mean, the written word that he brought me described that it doesn't have to be what he says. And so having the conversation, it's frightening that to me, because these are good people. I mean, they're not evil people. They're just blinded by their own belief system that this man is a liar, a cheat, and he's not out to help us at all, and he doesn't even understand law because he's talking about treason that can't be applied. So I have to be very careful, you know, because, I just have to be very careful in the community. And just recently, I've gotten called out for doing something because I'm a Christian and because I guess I'm a threat because I bring new ideas and whatnot. Anyway, the persecution that I have felt on such a tiny scale, right? Such a tiny scale really made me think, because I'm getting called into the superintendent's office tomorrow and I'm going to have to tell her, you know, it's simply not true. It's sad. It's sad that this, you know, but it's not true and here's why and blah, blah, blah. And bottom line is, I cannot imagine how this man has continued to survive for the better part of 3.5 years or, you know, 3+ anyway, with the kind of crap that is thrown at him, the garbage through, I mean, I'm not going to make national news with my little fluff, but it's just shocking to me. It's shocking to me how people are so blinded and cannot see the truth. Even when you try to have the red pilling conversation, Scotty, it's just like, it's like, oh, you people, you just use headlines. Okay,
Let me say this first and foremost. Yeah. We need people like you in those kinds of environments, specifically education, mm-hmm. in your case. And we need you to stand strong and stand up for what we know is right. And, there are people, many people in your shoes across the spectrum of education at universities. There are conservatives who I know would feel exactly like you and have those conversations every day because I've talked to some. I know a few conservatives that still work. They never left. They went to college and never left that comfy blanket over them called college. And they stayed in the college environment. And then I have a friend at Northern Illinois University where I graduated. He still works. He now works there, and he has. And he has the conversations you described all the time. Wow. He has actually had to call security a couple of times to get into his classroom.
Wow.
Because of students knowing his support for President Trump. But let me counter you, or I should say balance your experience in that environment with the one I just had, you know, of all places, Las Vegas. I had a college reunion with 10 friends.
Okay.
So there was 11 of us. Now, three of these 10 people I have been in touch with ever since college and have remained in somewhat constant contact. One is very close to me. But for the most part, 6 or 7 of them, I had no idea where their mindset was going to be with respect to the spiritual war, support for Trump, and whether they were red-pilled or not. And that, you know, going to a reunion with such close friends, it's impossible to avoid those conversations because you have to find out where your friends are at.
Correct.
So I want to give you the good news. 8 of those 10 people were strong supporters of Trump.
Oh, that's wonderful news. That is wonderful news. Thank you.
2 of them just remained silent. I think they expressed their views. They did not contribute to the conversation. We had one brief conversation as a group of 10, and I had many side conversations over the 3 days with the other gentlemen, sometimes in small groups of 2 or 3, some one-on-ones. But I can tell you that of the 8 that support President Trump, half of them are truly red-pilled and would understand the things we talk about. And when you say something like the military's been activated and here are the possible things they could be doing, they could be making arrests, they could be protecting cities from civil unrest, they could even go into a Google. And because of treason, the president has every right to send the military into Google's headquarters and take over the building.
Yes.
Now, he's balancing that, I'm sure, with what sort of reaction we would get. But this is a case where the military could, in fact, be deployed on our homeland. If somebody like Antifa or MKUltra or any of these sleeper cells were to create civil unrest, I believe it would be shut down very quickly. So we hope for peace. We don't want anyone to be harmed. But in this process of resetting the rule of law, in these discussions we're having, it's hard to imagine this isn't going to come to a point of serious conflict of some kind. Let's hope the conflict remains
relatively peaceful.
Peaceful, and then I hope that the trade wars and the other kinds of wars are how we put this all to bed. I hope we don't have a civil war. I don't think we're going to have any sort of civil war in this country. I do not see that. I've talked to a number of my friends in Washington, particularly at a lobbying firm that talks to senators, Republican senators only. They are hired as a lobbying firm to influence Republican leaders, and they have a daily contact with people like Lindsey Graham and Devin Nunes and Mark Meadows, all these guys that support Trump, and they have these kinds of conversations we have here. And I do not imagine, nor do they, any sort of civil war happening, but we may need to deploy our military on our homeland in the process of resetting the rule of law. It is a possibility. We will see our own military in our streets.
It is. And in Ezra is a book in the Old Testament, the Lord says, "And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the kind, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment." Amazing, once again, that there is so much about the rule of law in the Bible. So I just bring this to you tonight, Lord. We ask this rule of law to continue to be restored in a way that's swift, with your judgment, your fair and righteous judgment executed upon those speedily, so that there is not a continuation of this painful back and forth with people that really, the bottom line is, they would be good neighbors. They are our neighbors. And Lord, we just ask you to bring an awareness, take off their blinders, open their eyes, bring the word of you to them, and bring a clarity and an understanding that President Trump is standing on your word and fighting for all of us, not just those of us that are Christians, not just those of us that are conservative. He's fighting for all of us. So we ask, Jesus, that you continue to be involved in all lives, in all walks of life, and keep us safe, and keep our president safe, keep his family safe, Lord, and we just thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing in the lives of every family, every person on this call, and we just thank you that we've all gathered here together once again to call out your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Diane. Appreciate it. Always very pointed and very spot on, germane to everything going on around us. And I'm really grateful we have 28 people on the call here tonight, and I'd like to see us get close to 35 or 40 by year's end. So I'm going to ask everybody if you would bring somebody and invite somebody to our calls. We started this in August of 2018, and we started with six or seven people. On our first call, we had 12 to 15 for the better part of the first year, and here we are, 28 people tonight, and we'd like to keep this going. So spread the word. Help us to grow this. We are operating on what we call grassroots marketing only. We do not have any intention to try to monetize this business or spend money directly on growing this group and promoting it. I've gotten a few calls with ideas for our website that would be proactive in the sense of growing this community, and we're entertaining those kinds of ideas. I am happy to report January of 2020, Prayers for 45 will have an outlet and a platform on broadcast radio. Myself and another person will be doing a radio show in Abilene, Sweetwater, Texas. I believe it's Abilene, Midland, and Sweetwater. We will be on Sundays, and we will have a platform and potentially even use excerpts from these calls. As I've said, we're recording these and having these discussions so that we're documenting history. We're memorializing the things that are taking place. And there's many great citizen journalists that are taking this period of history very seriously as they understand we're living in a time where we have a president that we pray for whose bottom line, he's here for us to regain our sovereignty and to end the slavery of the central banks and this cabal that is trying to destroy our president. Whether it be Russia, Ukraine, we know they're projecting everything they've done in their criminal corruption. It was A-okay for Joe Biden to go out and enrich his family. It was A-okay for John Kerry to go out in Ukraine and enrich his family. For Hillary and Barack and the Bushes, it's okay because it's gone on for decades. Now we have a president that is worth taking our platform to radio. So January of 2020, we'll keep you informed. We'll keep you apprised so you'll be able to listen to the show, and we'll invite you to our other platform, and we're excited about that. I do have one more announcement, and that is we are working on our email system to be a little more buttoned up and be able to do more things. And I'm welcoming any feedback or comments if you'd like to input to how you'd like to receive emails, what's important to you. Email marketing is a very fine, thin line between being present in someone's inbox and welcomed, as I assume we generally are with our members, or they wouldn't be in this group. But I'd like your input on how we can better use email to communicate with you and to help grow this circle of great prayer warriors. Diane or Kimberly, any closing thoughts?
I'm good, Diane? Scotty. I think I've babbled for enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, much can be the same for you and I when we get together. Maybe there's a little babble, but that's okay. we're amongst friends here, and we're not intending to do this in any formal sort of structure. Now, the radio show will be on the clock and much more formal and structured, but that's not why we're here. So you can babble all you want on these calls, Diane.
Well, thank you.
we're welcoming the babble for sure. Kimberly, thank you for your prayers. Hope you're driving safely. And now we will, as we always do, close our call with our gratitude prayer. And just a quick note, I can't thank everybody enough for taking time on a Sunday night to come here. And for all of our prayer leaders, I cannot express the gratitude for you devoting your time and your energy to making these calls possible. I couldn't do this without our prayer members and our prayer leaders. So thank you all. Lord, we devoted ourselves tonight to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and in turn, you will show us the light at the end of this day and every day. Lord, we're grateful to be on our mission to pray for President Trump. We're grateful he is leading the Patriots and leading the storm to drain the swamp and is focused on his mission and purpose as our great president. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've bestowed upon all of our lives. You've provided us with more than we could ever imagine. You've surrounded us with people who always look out for us. You've given us family and friends who bless us every day with kind words and actions. They lift us up in ways that keep our eyes focused and make our spirit soar. Thank you for the amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for the goodness and the blessings over us. Thank you. You're able to bring hope through even the toughest times, strengthening us for your purposes. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for the mercy and grace. Thank you that you're always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifices so that we may have freedom and life. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are and for all you do. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you. We give you praise and thanks. Lord, we're so grateful you heard our prayers tonight. We're grateful for our prayer leaders, Kimberly and Diane, for Pastor Joseph and Betty and Ingrid. I hope I haven't missed anybody. Christine, thank you. We're grateful, all the prayer warriors that joined us tonight on this call, and a special note of gratitude for our longtime prayer friends that have been with us since the very beginning. And you know who you are, Van and Kathy and Kathy and Ken and William and Diane and Liz and many more. Lord, let our roots grow down into you. Let our lives be built around you. Our faith will grow strong in you. And in the truth, we will overflow with thankfulness. We're so grateful for everything you've given us today and every day. Thank you so much for the loved ones in our lives and for the many ways in which we are all cared for and supported. Thank you from the bottom of our heart for everything we are. Amen. Great to be with you tonight. We'll see you on Thursday. Go out and have a great Sunday night. Hang up the phone. Give someone a big hug. And we'll talk to you again on Thursday. Bye-bye.